24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
And I want to welcome you to another exciting episode on Bashani Radio, Bashani Magazine. You're probably saying, well, who is this strange voice? This is not what I'm accustomed to. This is Brother Bedford. I'm sitting in for the one and only Benny Randall Jr. today. And you're probably asking, well, where is this guy? Why isn't he on today? Well, I'm used to tuning in and hearing Benny, my brother. Where is he? You know what? He's still here, but I'm sitting in his seat so that we can put him in the other seat so we can pry some valuable information out of Brother Benny today. This is my friend. I'm honored that he asked me to sit in and do this interview of him as we present to you some ideas and concepts that you need to be aware of. And so it would be kind of crazy for Benny to just sit up here and interview himself. I mean, you would probably think he's lost his mind. So I'm honored to sit in today, and we're going to jump right into the interview. Now, most of you know his story. But if you don't know who Benny Randall Jr. is, let me just give you a little bit about him, and then we're going to hear from the man himself. Benny started out in the music business as a dancer, a hype man, and rapper. Now, during this time, he regularly toured the country, entertaining hundreds of crowds, but he wasn't feeling quite complete. He moved to Brooklyn, New York in 1994 with only $500 in his pocket, which is a feat by itself, because everything is expensive in New York, so I don't know how he did it with $500, but we're going to find out. Times were certainly hard for Benny. He was renting a room in an attic. At one point, he had to sleep in his car, but the brother never gave up. Now, after losing his sister, two brothers, his firstborn child, and his father, Benny slowly realized that all of the challenges that he faced had they held some sort of lesson, and he knew that there was something bigger for himself to accomplish. Now, he began to share his story with others, and that's when The Motivator was born. After the success of his first book, The Motivation Factor, the speaker with the golden voice, and everybody knows Benny has the golden voice, Les Brown gave him that title. He gained the opportunity to speak in front of small organizations and Fortune 500 companies alike. Now, Benny felt he had found his life's purpose, and that was to help people discover the greatness within themselves. His two best-selling audiobooks, The Inner Power to Create Your World and The Powerful Mind, went on to generate $2 million in sales. And Benny stated, I'm on a mission to inspire 1 billion people before I leave this earth. And I can attest the brother is well on the road to doing that. So without further ado, let me bring to you the one and only Benny Randall Jr. How you doing there, brother?
Come on, brother. I appreciate you sitting in the driver's seat right now, and then I'm able to chill here in the back seat. I appreciate this, brother.
Oh, man, I'm honored, brother. You know, this is something that I think is valuable, not just for the individuals who would be tuning in listening, but I know, you know, you and I are friends, so let's put that out there. This is not a secret. So I know we have intimate conversations all the time, so I know that there's just a wealth of knowledge that could be shared with the audience, and not just on the surface, but a little bit deeper. So I'm honored to be able to have this opportunity to talk to you about some of those things.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. I call Brother Bedford the Black People Whisperer. Who else can do this? You know what I mean? Only Brother Bedford.
I hear you. Well, let me ask you this. Why don't we first start off with, just in case, and I gave a brief story, you know, from your bio, but can you tell those who may be the first time listeners, those people hearing about you for the very first time, share with them a little bit about who you are and why you do what you do?
You know, I get asked this question a lot of times, and I think people always go to what people expect to hear, but honestly, I'm just someone who loves to see people win. And I believe that in order for you to win, you got to have some skin in the game. So I'm the type of individual that I like to help those who help themselves. As I said, that God helps those who help themselves. And I believe when you have a little skin in the game, whatever that may be, it allows you to live your life to its fullest. Because here's what I've learned, and all you mentioned earlier in the bio about all the people that I've lost in my life in a short period of time. And here's what I've learned, Brother Bedford. The only time you own is right now, in this present moment. That's it. So people sitting around worrying about what happened yesterday, and those who are anxious to find out what's going to happen tomorrow, they're actually missing what's actually important, Brother Bedford, and that is the present. That's why they call it the present, because this is where all the gifts are at, man. And I try to live in the moment. Excuse me, I'll take that back. I don't try. I live in the moment, okay? The present is, if you indulge yourself in the presence, you will find out that you're able to gain more of an experience. It's sort of like when people talk about slowing down to smell the roses sometimes, because maybe their life has been hectic, and maybe they have they've done some things and just got distracted of who they are inside. And I believe you have to slow the moment down, Brother Bedford. And when you do, it gives you the opportunity to be able to connect with people on a personal level. That's why I always say when I'm speaking to people around the world that you can never, ever replace human contact. Social media allows us to leverage what type of people we can reach, where we can reach them at, but you can never replace human contact, and you can only find that human contact experience in the present moment, wherever that moment is for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Really appreciate that, man. That's great insight. Now, and we're going to get into your business stuff, man. I mean, it's phenomenal what you've been able to do as a speaker, platform builder, and even on the level that many people don't know where you exist, and that's on the plane of some of the most successful entrepreneurs and business people on the planet, how they're in the arena of investing. And so we really want to get into that. But I want to ask you, you share so much of your life with you and your children, your engagement with your children. What drives you to be the type of father that you are to your children? Where, I mean, literally step by step with you on this journey. What drives you to be that type of father?
Wow. Now that is an excellent question. Nobody's ever asked me that question for you. I appreciate that one. You know what my children have done for me? My children have allowed me to do what I wanted to be done to me. You know, although I love my father and he's passed, what I've learned growing up is that money and all those things are not important when it comes to spending time with your kids. And, you know, all the things that I do with my kids at this moment is all the things I wanted my father to do with me. You know, I go to their games. My daughter is an actress. I make sure I'm there, sitting right in front in the VIP section on stage to watch her. My son loves basketball. I make sure I show up at the games, whether he's winning or losing, because I think what they will remember is exactly what I remembered, and that is that, you know, now how much money that Poppy spent on us, and not how many shoes, but how much attention did he give us? And that's what I lack. And I made a promise to myself that, you know, when I had kids, I would be there to those games. I would be at those events. I would have an opportunity for them to talk to me and be a part of their lives and allow them to fulfill their dreams in any way they wanted to without the pressure of saying you have to be like me or whatever. I simply want them to grow, and I want them to always be open so that they can communicate with me, communicate with others. And, you know, I always want to make sure my door is open. So if they got an issue, you know, they can come and talk to me. And, you know, that's why now we have times. I'm divorced. But we have times, but I get to see them every week. And if I'm out of town or whatever, then I'll double up. But here's what I've learned, that, you know, we have daddy and daughter days, and then we have daddy and son days. And these times are meant to not only tell them each one of them are special, but to let them know that sometimes one-on-one engagement is to let them know that, you know, I love you and I love your sister. And I want them to understand that they can never say that, you know, dad wasn't there. You know what I mean? You got a problem, give me a call or whatever. If I don't see you from out of town or something, what else? I want them to be able to know that I had the opportunity. He supported, because I tell you, when kids are growing up, you know, you should know this. You know, one day they want to be this, next day they want to be this, next day they want to be this, because they have no, you know, they have no filters. You know what I mean? But as they begin to get bigger and whatnot, they start to get a little bit more focus on doing the things that they love doing. And I just want to instill in them that, you know, there's two people in the world. Either you can be one that builds their dreams, or you can be somebody that builds other people's dreams. And that's the difference between you being an employee and an employer. But I don't want to push them, because they have their own journey. My job is to take care of them until they can take care of themselves.
Powerful point you made there. Something that you didn't really mention this, and I think it kind of, you know, spurs another question. So how important is it to you that they take over or step into what you've already built? Or are you okay with the fact that they may not step into your shoes and do what you're doing, but you're comfortable with allowing them to build their dream? So is it important to you for them to jump in and continue the legacy, or are you very comfortable with saying, hey, whatever it is you want to do, you're not under any pressure to continue the legacy that you're building?
I would be lying if I didn't say I would love them to take over the organization. And honestly, with my daughter, she's like the mini me. You know, my son, he has my attributes of, you know, sometimes wanting to be in the background. He'd rather not be in front of the microphone or behind the microphone, but he wants to control the audio of the microphone or the camera per se. I really don't think I have that problem with my daughter, because she's a superstar in her own right. But if for some strange reason they get to the point where they don't, then, you know, I built an organization. And the good thing about building organizations instead of a company, when you build a company, if you die, the company dies. But when you build an organization, it can go on. And, you know, it would be my dreams and blessings to see them take over. But I'm not going to totally push them. But if you don't think I'm grooming them, I'm grooming them, boy, you don't know what you think about. You know what I mean? I gave them all the opportunities. I gave them up. I gave them stock options. And then I teach them about the business. And, you know, I let them know, if you want to wake up in the morning and do what you love, this is the part that you have to do. If you want to wake up and do something you don't love, then, you know, you'll go work for somebody else. And I'm not saying that people work for else, other people. Some people love working for other people, and that's their thing. But, you know, when you have the opportunity, you have a father who's an entrepreneur, who's an investor, a media mogul, and a speaker, just by, man, you need to follow your dreams, because every dream I've ever had, Brother Bedford, I'm going for it. Even when people think it's strange, like, you know, I love music. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can never take that out of me. And, you know, I got some secrets that are going to, you know, pop up in the universe later this year. And people are going to be like, well, why is he doing that? And the simple answer is because I want to. Just that simple. I want to. Wow. And I tell people, you know, whatever your dream is, if you have the opportunity, it is never too late, Brother Bedford. You know what I mean? There's just so much in this universe. And a lot of times, you know, yes, we have a brand and, you know, all of these things. But let me tell you something, man. There's one more thing more important than a brand, and that's your inner happiness. So whatever that means, you know, to you, man, do it. But because all I can tell you, it is never too late. Here's an example of that, Brother Bedford. Samuel L. Jackson didn't get recognized for his work until he was age 45. Morgan Freeman was 52 when he drove Miss Daisy. Michael Clark Duncan, the Green Mile, he got his first role at 37. Do you know the designer Vera Wang didn't design her first dress until she was 40? Stan Lee didn't create his first Marvel character until he was 39. Henry Ford was 45 when he designed his first car. I can go on and on and on. So when people tell me they decided to not do something in their life simply because it would, they were too old, it's too long of a period of time, you know what I say to them? It's all in your mind, because in the spiritual world, Brother Bedford, there is no time. Time is only on the physical plane. That might be going a little too deep for some of these people, but let's just say that, you know, God doesn't travel on time. You understand? And when you're able to go within and see those type of things, you would understand that don't worry about time. Just worry about your time and the right time to do what you want.
Okay. You're preaching today, doctor. You're preaching today.
Feeling real good, brother. Feeling real good. And you, these questions you're giving me, it's like, man, I got to step my game up, because Brother Bedford be coming up on here with these questions. I'm feeling these, brother. I got to step my game up.
No, man, that's profound there, man. I mean, we could go down a real long road with that, but I want to, let's pivot back to this, because we touched on it in the beginning with the bio, and you've even mentioned it several times in explaining what you do as a speaker. But I really want you to go into, because there's so many people who would jump up and say, I'm a speaker, I'm a motivational speaker, but I really want to go into the mind of one who has become a motivational speaker, who has become an inspiration, not just in a local market, but in an international market, to where people would download your materials and your books millions of times. So let's talk about that. What does it really take to be a motivator? Can you explain that?
Let me tell you this. That's an awesome question, man. I like how when somebody interviews you and they've done their research. Here's what I find out about speakers. The reason why a lot of speakers struggle, because they don't know their value. It's just that simple. They don't know their worth. And I'm more than just the motivational speaker. My slogan is the motivator, because I get people up and into their own lives. What I found out, Brother Bedford, is this. When you are authentic in who you are, regardless of what people think is authentic, when you are in your own self, the speaking part is very, very easy. You know what I mean? Can a person be taught to deliver a message on stage? Yes. But can a person move people, you know, with their experiences? I'm a why speaker. That's what it is. I want to know why you haven't done what you need to do in order to get where you want to go. So a lot of times I'm always posing the question, why are you not doing what you were put here to do? And when people start to ask those questions to themselves, Brother Bedford, they will find their unique voice. See, I know some speakers who are not, you know, who are always serious. Me, there's a silly part of me that's incredibly silly. You know what I mean? Right. You know, but
I know that for a fact.
There's it, you know, but that's who I am. And some people may right. take that, well, he shouldn't show that because he's supposed to be this or he's supposed to be that. No, right. I supposed to be exactly who I am. The uniqueness in the reason why a lot of speakers don't get where they need to go, Brother Bedford, because they are afraid of what other people think. I think one of my strongest points in speaking is that I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I don't care what anyone thinks of how I speak. You know, I be messing up words when I speak, but you get the message. You see right. what I'm saying? I'm not as eloquent as a lot of the speakers may speak. They have all these big words. I just got the words I understand. It's just that simple. But in all of that, it makes me unique in who I am. Because there is no new message under the sun. It's just the message of how you begun. Ooh, did somebody hear that? There is no new message under the sun. It's just the message of how you begun. You know why? Because your journey and all that I've been through is there to share with others, because you might be going through something that connects with you. And a lot of times people don't recognize that because they're too busy trying to make sure their brand and everything stays in sync. But while they're doing that, they find themselves struggling, because here's what I know. Any person I'm supposed to help will be brought to me. Okay, I put myself out there, and if you connect. There is no speaker that can speak to everybody and touch everybody. You know, right. some people need a speaker that's a little soft spoken. Some people need a speaker that's more militarized, whatever it may be. But the people that I'm supposed to help will be put in my path. And those are the people I would be able to help them change their lives. As you notice, I say help them change their lives, because often people think that a speaker is going to come in and change your life. No, it's up to you to actually do the work. But the beauty of what I love about speaking is that I love to express myself. And I learned a long time ago when I was younger, I used to hold a lot of things in. Now I'm the opposite. I'll just throw it out there, so I don't have time for the hoopla. Some people say, you know, Benny's a little harsh on how he does it, or, you know, he's got an ego, he's arrogant, you know. Right. And what I found out is that those people who are intimidated by you are simply people who are uncomfortable with who they are. And they may not be where they want to be. So you remember, you're either going to love somebody or you're going to fear what you don't know. And if people don't, you know, we are friends, Brother Bedford. So people don't get that behind the scene interaction like me and you have. You understand? So because they're on the outside, they make judgments based on what I decide to put into the universe. But I'm going to tell each and every person listening here. Everything I do, every post I make on social media, it is strategic. If I was to break it down for you, you would be like, whoa, that makes sense. This is why you don't see me struggling for clients. This is why you don't see me, getting mad when people don't, purchase my products like I've seen right. people, you know, they get downright upset, you know, that people. But I don't have to do that because I've set myself up with multiple streams of income. I've taken the money that I've had and I've done investments and things like that. And quite frankly, Brother Bedford, the two things I love doing the most. I love dancing and I love speaking. Okay. And because in the speaking, I get to help people see what I've been through. My dancing is, that's my high. You know what I mean? Some people drink. Some people smoke. You know, some people overeat. Me, I just like to get my dance on. People be like, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? People be like, brother, you are, you know, you grown. You got kids. Why are you out here dancing? Because I love it. It's just that simple. That's who I am. You can't take that from me. Yeah, I hope that makes sense.
And that makes a whole lot of sense, man. That's a beautiful way to express it. You touched on something. I want to ask you this before we move on to the next phase. You touched on a couple of things, and we'll come back to them. But one thing that you mentioned, we're talking about the just the motivational speaking from the perspective of people viewing and you're helping. But I want you to touch on what it means to be in the speaking business, because, you know, as we kind of, you know, we touched on it, there are a lot of people who try to speak, but they're not making the money. They're not having the impact. They're not able to get the engagements. You know, as you just said, you're not struggling to get clients. You're not struggling to get booking appointments. So explain, what does it mean to be in the speaking business to you?
A lot of people are struggling, Brother Bedford, simply because they haven't found their exact it. You know what I mean? God gave me an opportunity with this voice that he placed upon me to let me know I was supposed to use my voice. Did I know right away it was to be a speaker? No, because as you stated earlier in this conversation, I wanted to be the biggest rapper in the world, you know what I mean, and have girls chasing me. But the speaking business for me, it's a way of allowing me to let go of things that have come across me. You know, when you've gone through what I've gone through, Brother Bedford, you know, my sister, she was murdered by her husband because she wanted a divorce. My brother Reggie Red, we call him, he was in the fast life. I ain't got to go no deeper than that, but you know, your fast life, fast money, make fast things right. happen. My brother Carl, you know what I mean? He didn't take care of his health as he should have, you know, so therefore, you know, you're the results of everything that you put in your mouth and your body, and it's up to you to take care of it. My father, you know what I mean? He, you know, somebody once told me, they say, things that you enjoy today, you will enjoy you tomorrow. You know what I mean? He was a heavy smoker and heavy drinker, which is probably why I don't do those things. And then the personal, you know, my firstborn son, you know, when I had gotten married, I'm divorced now, as I stated before. But, you know, that child was in my ex-wife's belly until 1 week before the child was supposed to be born. Okay, so just imagine you're 7 days away from the child being born. And because the child had gone such long term, and for some reason, you know, that we don't question, you know, it wasn't meant to come into this physical form. But, you know, I think one of the hardest moments when I learned how precious life is when my ex-wife had to have that baby the regular way, because they felt if they did a C-section on her, she would never be able to have children, you know, straight, you know, the natural way. Wow. You know, once you do a C-section, you right. you got to do another C-section, et cetera, et cetera. And what I've learned is that when that baby came into my hands, Brother Bedford, and I the baby came out, all the arms, legs, a head full of hair, but we already knew that the spirit inside was gone. So it was just a shell. That taught me a lot about this present moment. Like, you know, the body was there. Everything was intact. The arms, the legs, the eyes. And you know how when you're sitting there to hold the child, but we already knew. But in back in my mind, Brother Bedford, I think there was something that said maybe they read it wrong, and she had right. to deliver the child, the whole delivery, just like anything else, knowing that this child had already passed. And then that's when I truly realized the power of the moment. This is why I always tell people, I don't let things stay within. I let them go. And speaking allows me to do that because although God told you he'll get you through it, you know, he ain't tell you it won't be no pain. He ain't tell you it won't be traumatic. But one thing I know is this, Brother Bedford, if you made it through, that means he wants you to share. And to me, that's authentically being a speaker, not what other people tell me. Nobody can tell me what my journey looks like. Nobody can tell me, you know, I shouldn't do it this way or do it that way. No, you can make suggestions. Either I receive it or I don't receive it. But until you've walked a mile in my shoes, you don't really understand me. You don't really. And that's good because I don't expect everybody to understand me. I guess the point I'm making is, speaking is a tool, just like making music is a tool. You know what I mean? Just like a person becoming a doctor, you know, that's a skill, that's a tool to save lives. I believe speakers save lives too, just like anybody else. We save lives by showing people that, you know, you can, you know, we started from the bottom, now we're here. As the young people said, right. You know, and I think people get caught up, and I think why the messages of speakers, especially in this digital age where it's so saturated, is why it's not having as much as effect as it should have, because everybody's trying to do what everybody else is doing. Never in my life would I ever try to be Brother Bedford. You know why? Because right. I can't be the brother, the black people whisperer. That just doesn't work for me. One, because I don't whisper. And then number two, I just don't have that smooth connection. You know, Brother Bedford, you walk in the room and it takes me back to a Shaft moment. You know what I mean? When I see you on video, you know what I mean? You just have that, dun, 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 just like, that's what I see if you walk in the room. Like, you know, I've watched some of your videos.
My own theme.
Yeah, you know what I mean? People, some people walk in the room, you just hear music, you don't know where it's coming from. It's just, dun, 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 dun.
This is what makes you totally unique. This is really, and I'm hoping that people are really, really gleaning something from this. That your ability to, as you just, you taught the principle verbally, right? But then you actually live the principle right in this very moment for people. So I hope that they really look at not only what you were saying, but how you pulled out or observed what you know about me, what you feel about me, but yet that is what makes Benny, right? That is what makes you, that you have that unique ability to look at what others do, what others practice, and see the light in it and how they can be totally unique. And I think that is such a profound gift that you have, and I hope that people really observe that and you delivered it in a way that it applies to each and every one of us listening to you prove that point. Man, that was, thank you, Benny, for one, but two, that is so profound.
Thank you for saying, if Brother Bedford say I'm profound, I receive that. Okay, I'ma just go with that. Okay.
Man, that is profound, man. Now, and so let's keep going, man, because again, you and I could probably talk forever on any particular subject that we choose, but we just talked about the speaking business. We talked about your career in the music world, and we know now that that's not over, right? But your earlier days.
Oh, I got some surprises, brother. They're going to be like, why he going to do this, man? Because I want it to. It's just that simple.
Right. So I know we're going to loop back around to that, man. But tell me this. Now, we've talked about that background. We know about where you're intending on going with the music industry, the speaking. We know that you're an author. You have the audio books. How did you make that transition to media mogul? How did you begin to think about what you were doing as a speaker and begin to turn that into a multifaceted media platform? What inspired you to do that?
I think one thing I've learned, because I read a lot of autobiographies and I watch a lot of documentaries of people's lives on Netflix. Yeah, they didn't pay me to say that. But I enjoy that aspect of listening and absorbing people. And because I'm an audio person, you know, like I think because of my voice, it allows me to dive into it. And one thing I've learned from many people who have created things is usually people create stuff that they don't have or that they want to see. Here's what I didn't see. I didn't see a lot of my voices. Okay. I didn't see people talking about things I like to talk. Of course, I like to be silly, and I like hearing, you know, the funny jokes as comedians go and they do their thing. But what I didn't, but a lot of times I just want to hear great conversation. I just want to hear people, you know, take a subject and chop it up. And I just was not finding that. And even being here in New York City, you know, so nice, they named it twice. The information and the opportunity of our voices was just not here. The three biggest stations we had here no longer were down to two, and they both together, and their main interest is, you know, playing music and entertaining. But sometimes, you know, as you get older, sometimes you just want to have, just like what we're doing right now, Brother Bedford. Sometimes you want to have a grown-up conversation and just really, you know, dive into a subject. And that's what I didn't see. So, as you know, I created Bashani Radio, which you have one of the hottest shows on there, strictly business. Because more than just wanting to hear my voice, I wanted to hear other voices. I wanted to know how and why they tick. I wanted to know what moved them. And because I had that ability of being in studios all my life, I'm, you know, I've never went to computer school or anything like that, but I have this innate ability to build stuff. You know, when it comes to that digital world, I just have this innate ability. Like literally I haven't went to school for any of this stuff, but you know, if I see something, I can figure it out over a period of time. Like, you know, when I wanted to learn how to film and make movies and what have you, you know, I bought like a CD set, you know, like $300 from the people who created the software. And I literally spent hours, more than, you know, 3 months literally learning how to do this. I love radio, but nobody was hiring me. And I'm like, how in the world could you not hire the sexiest voice in America? I just didn't understand that, Brother Bedford. I couldn't understand it. You know, my alter ego is Benny Love, a.k.a. the sexiest voice in America. And that's when I just want to be silly, and I just want to, you know, bring some words to it. Man, I got something coming out later this year that's going to blow your mind. And but I couldn't understand how they would not hire the sexiest voice in America. So if you won't hire me, I'll build it. And when I build it, you better watch out, because now you ain't gonna be able to tell me what to do. You know what I mean? So that's why I created Bashani Radio, which is very, very successful. The first year, over 700 episodes, a few million listeners, and now we created for K, which is dedicated to the power of women, because, you know, this year is definitely, I told you this, we had private conversations, you know, I told you this year would be the year of the woman. And while a lot of people not paying attention there, you know, between the Me Too movement, between the entrepreneur movement, and you and I know, it's just that there's a lot of powerful women out there. And I knew this was their moment. So why not give them a platform that will, you know, I didn't want it to be censored. I wanted them to come on and do what they do. And we would handle the tech part. We would handle. And now we're pretty much distributed by any other media method on top of our home place, which is BashaniRadio.com and VerkRadio.com. and we cover a gamut of topics and subjects, and we're steadily growing. But to answer your question in the simplest form, I didn't see it. I created it. It's just that simple. I believe you can either yell and scream about what other people are not doing for you, or you can find a way to have your own contribution. You know what I mean? It's just like you, brother, you do the show strictly business. And if people really pay attention, man, you be dropping some jewels up in there that if they had to do this one-on-one with you, it would cost a pretty penny, because it's worth it. You know, it bugs me when people say, oh, I don't want to pay a coach, or I don't want to pay a strategist, or I want to pay whomever, whatever. But you can't go to school for free. You know what I mean? And instead of spending your time going to study a whole bunch of things that, may get you somewhere or may not. I read a great quote. It says that you need 0 degrees to own a business, but you need degrees to work for a business owner. Boy, right. If that didn't cut deep in some people, I don't know what that is, brother. Man, but yeah,
that's an eye opener there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that you mentioned about the jewels, what we share over on Strictly Business, which again is on the platform that you own. Again, that's important to stress. As Benny has stated, for all of you that's listening, I mean, I'm literally on the platform sharing my voice, but the platform that I'm on is the platform that Benny built. As a matter of fact, we had the house that Benny built.
Let me tell you,
people understand that. And what you meant by the jewel, I think that's the same thing that's coming through now. I think we both have similar philosophy that we share experiences, right? So it's not necessarily the stuff that you would read in a textbook. It's not something that's in a can. You share business experiences that are so nuanced, but they are the things that make business tick. They're the things that make us successful. Are these things that you're sharing right now, which you can't get in a textbook. It's impossible.
I'm gonna share something with you that I coined in my head long time ago, and I have it written, at strategic places in, my homes. And in my homes.
Say that again.
Be quiet.
say that again, because we gotta make sure the people get to say that again.
But I call what I do the business of experiences. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if somebody tell you that, you know where they got it from. Because that's what we do, man, and that's the beauty. And you know what I love about how God allows each one of us to tell our story? And some people become famous overnight and people listen to them. Some people never become famous and they have people that listen to them. But it is the business of our experiences that I find the most valuable, because if you go back, Brother Bedford, and this is why I tell everybody, you have a book inside of you. If you go back, you will find that everything that gave you pain allowed you to grow and gain. Okay? And there is nothing like the experience. For instance, there is nothing like the experience of a heartbreak of your first girlfriend or boyfriend leaving you. There is nothing of the experience, as many people have I've lost in my family to be such a young age. You know what I mean? The only person back around now is my mom and my two beautiful kids. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like, living in an attic, for maybe 2-3 years and having to share the bathroom with 8 people you didn't know. Like, all these experiences, like, if I dive into them, which I would in my autobiography, that's what we're sharing, because you know what? There is somebody going through it that needs to hear this. And for that person that is listening, that somehow, if you are listening to this show right now, this audio experience, if you're listening to this, it's because there was a message for you. Because there is no coincidence in the universe, Brother Bedford. As much as people want to say, why did this happen to me? I say, don't ask why it happened to you. You know, you ask, what am I to gain and how can I share this with the world? It's just like this audio magazine, Bashani magazine. I found that, you know, some people love the written word. You know what I mean? And some people love the spoken word. If it, pretty much all the companies that I have, they somewhat are connected to what I do in my nucleus, and that is the voice, the speaking, the words. They're somehow connected to that. So I said, for those people, you know, they say that 90-something percent of people start a book and never actually finish it. And what I found with traveling a lot in the cars, the planes, the boats, and things like that, you always have a little time to just throw the headphones in. So instead of throwing, you know, your hottest jams, which I don't get it twisted because I love to dance, so, and I'm going to be dancing until I die, you know, but sometimes put on one of these shows where people are really feeling and feeding into your source. You know, people often say, you know, the inspiration, it just means in spirit. And there's something that was in your spirit that connected to the persons in their spirit, and that's how people connect. See, a lot of times, Brother Bedford, people miss a lot of blessings because they are taking too much time judging something about that other person instead of allowing it flow. Like, as long as I've known you, Brother Bedford, and now here's what people don't even get to recognize. I've known Brother Bedford for years, but I've never actually met him in person. Okay. But yet we have been able to still connect on a level that most people will never connect. You know why? Because I believe Brother Bedford's spirit is right along the line of where I am, and he's very sure of who he is. So you're not intimidated by me. You know what I mean? I tell you, people going to either embrace you or repel from you. You know what I mean? And usually people that repel are those that don't understand, or they might not be in their own spirit at that moment. You know, this is why I think the most important lesson I've ever learned from my coach, Brother Bedford, and I tell people this again and again, and if most people could get past this, you would open up the door to so many wonderful things. There is no competition. You can't compete when you are unique. Damn it. Did I just say that? No, that came through me. You can't compete when you are unique.
Wow.
And if you're thinking that you are not unique, that means you're denying the greatness in which God created you. I'm going to say it one more time. You can't compete when you are unique. There's only one Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. the Motivator, a.k.a. Benny Love, the sexiest voice in America. And you heard it right here. Damn it.
Points before we move to the last area that we want to cover, man. You know, you touched on a couple of things, and I really want to kind of drill home first. Tell us about, because we mentioned the platforms, right? But the audio platform, but there are just some other media properties that you own, such as like Benny on Demand. Can you talk about how that media platform has really, what's the term I'm looking for, has really, I guess for you and I could say, it's blown up the business, right? I mean, we can there are these properties that people see on the surface, but there's also these media properties that they don't see. Can you speak to that, like the Benny on Demand property?
See, the beauty of a Benny on Demand is that, which is why I don't have to struggle for clients, because I listen to what the people who come to my conferences, the people who buy my books, you know, because here's the thing, Brother Bedford. people are always asking, what should I do to get people to pay attention? You know what I mean? I want you to break that word down. What should I do to get people to pay attention? Why do I say that? Because a lot of times you're not listening to the people you're supposed to help. Therefore, you're not hearing what they want from you. People will tell you if you give them the opportunity, but most people are so busy telling people what they need to do instead of listening to what people want. And people tell you that what they want every day. If you literally went on social media and just listen and don't do it. And oftentimes I read a lot of stuff on social media. I don't reply or anything. I just absorb. And you'll find something come out that'll connect with people. You know why? Because they already told me what it was. And Benny on Demand started because one of my clients said, you know, I love hearing from you and getting in depth from you, but I don't like going through all the noise. It's so noisy in social media that, you know, for me to hear you, I gotta be friends with all these other people. And, you know, I don't want to just get on and start a Facebook and be my only friend. You know what I mean? And they say, but even so, you know, you still got to go through all these other people. You know what I mean? And she said that if you can make something where we can cut out the noise and come into your house and have coffee with you. And I said, wow, interesting. And that's how Benny on Demand got, because basically what she was saying is, I want to hear what you got to say without any disturbance. So what I did, I created Benny on, it started as Bashani Business, because my first thought was, I'm going to create this private community, and then I'm going to also bring other people behind the wall, you know, and issue. And sometimes, you know, in every blessing, there's a lesson, and every lesson, there is a blessing. And what I found out when I reached out to some people and say, hey, I want you to do this behind my wall. And they would say, oh, people paying? How many people you got? Oh, really? How much I'm going to get? Whatever. And I had no problem with that. But that was the wrong intention there, you know, and it got harder and harder. Okay, if you got this, I'm going to need you to get. No, I'm just bringing you in. I'm going to introduce you to some people and I will pay you. I have no problem with paying you. But if paying you is the only reason you want to do it, then you're not giving the value I'm giving to these people. So it ended up, I was calling it Bashani Business, and I decided, let me change it over to Benny on Demand, because basically it was all my content, the workshops, the books, and everything. And here's what I've learned about making people put skin in the game. Yeah, I see a lot of people out there that has great engagement and numbers, you know, as far as they have this many people listening to their videos, their audios, or whatever it is. But none of those people, a very small number, are actually going full throttle and, you know, becoming clients. Why? Because it's easier when people mindset, when they get it free, Brother Bedford, somehow, let me say it this way. I heard somebody say it's easier to spend other people's money than it is to spend your own money.
Say that again.
You know what I mean? It's easier to spend other people's money than it is to spend your own money. And that money could represent your time, your knowledge, and issues. And, you know, I've had people that would come to me and, you know, I try to help people. People email me in private and things like that. And I may give them a little advice or whatever. And I'll find out they'll keep coming back. And then the next thing I know, they overpaying the next man, XXX, all up in his, talking about I'm certified. I'm like,
right.
All right, you. Okay, you certified. So you want me to do what for you now? Because you're certified, but you're still not making any money. So now you're coming back and you're trying to understand, how did you get certified? And I don't said this before many times, Brother Bedford, can't nobody certify you. What they can certify you is, they can give you a certificate and say, you paid XX money to come to my event. Here's your certificate. You know, if that's what they're looking for, anybody can go to Staples and put your name on it after you paid for it. you know, but they can't certify you in some aspect because there's no regulatory when it comes to this speaking business. I just told you we're in the business of experiences. You know what I mean? How can you regulate somebody's experience other than you putting them in jail? And that's what happens. People get in mental jails, financial jails, and then they wonder why they're not making money, and why they're not getting, they got all this certification and whatever. And I just explained to you from that quote, you could have 0 degrees and start a company, and then you have to have a degree to come work for that person that started that company.
I hope those of you who are listening, I hope that you're getting, you know, Benny alluded to the nuggets that I share, but I really hope you're getting the millions of dollars worth of information and mentoring and tutelage that you're getting in this conversation from Benny right now. I mean, these are some things that you won't receive from a textbook. These are the things you won't receive from a Facebook post. These are actual business experience proven concepts that deliver, I'm going to repeat that again, that deliver results. And so I hope that you're listening to this and you go back and you listen to it again and you share it with family and friends and whomever you feel needs this information, because this is powerful information. Now, Brother Benny, before we move to the last area that we want to cover, and I'm anxiously waiting to get into that part, but there's one other thing that you mentioned that I think I just want to stay on it just for a second, because I think it is so valuable. You've been talking about being unique. You've talked about building your properties around your strength, you know, the audio. How important, how valuable is it for those who are listening to discover their own unique strengths and to build their businesses around their strength? Not necessarily just their likes and passion. It's a blessing when you have all of those lined up, but the strengths, because your universe revolves around your strength. Can you speak to that for us?
Oh, man. Well, man, you just dropping these bombs today, huh? Shoot, boy. If I didn't know better, shoot, I thought I was talking to Einstein up in this piece, because you went deep. Yeah, Brother Bedford, that's all I know. See, I was not the smartest cookie in school. You see what I'm saying? So, and I didn't do what other people did, walk down that aisle with that big old diploma and everything. I just was not the smartest cookie. You see what I'm saying? But one thing I was the most creative in my own zone, in my universe. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, I would stay up late at nights producing music and things on a Casio that gave me 1.2 seconds of sampling time, for those that know the music business. But I had to find my it factor. And that's what I think a lot of people lack. They want their it factor to be what is exciting or what is popular at that moment. You know what I mean? I knew my voice was the it factor, because literally when I was younger, my voice was not this deep. You see what I'm saying? When I made my first record in 1986, dating myself here, my voice, if you hear that record, I sound like Mickey Mouse. I literally, Brother Bedford.
That would be hard to believe.
Exactly, Brother Bedford. I literally woke up one morning and this was my voice. And I thought that I had a cold. You see what I'm saying? And my mom was like, boy, quit trying to play with your voice. Talk normal. I was like, this is normal. She was like, what's happened to you? I was like, I don't know. Maybe I became a man. She said, you became a man a long time ago when you started eating all this food around here. Right. And but that's when I knew that, okay, God had given me something that now had matured. And now I was in a different zone.
Right.
So, you know, I struggled a long time before I got to this point, because you couldn't tell me, Brother Bedford, I wasn't supposed to be like the Barry White rap or something. You just couldn't tell me. You know what I mean? You know, and then I played into, you know, talking to girls. I'd be like, hey, girl, how you doing? I'm Benny. You know. You want to go get coffee? You know, whatever it is, I realized that I could make words sound sexy. And I was like, well, damn, my voice is sexy, if I might say so. You know, and of course, the haters would be like, no, your voice isn't sexy. Shut up. I'd be like, all right, it's cool.
It's all right, bro.
You know, I know how you're feeling. You're feeling some type of way, right? All right, cool. You know what I mean? But as it became deeper and as my career in music business didn't go to where I wanted it to go, you know, I knew I had the voice. What was I supposed to do with it? As I've told this story many times, and, you know, often people be like, you know, of course, you know, people's shallow minds was like, you need to get on the 900 number. Man, if I can't tell my mama about it, I probably shouldn't be doing it. And that was my theme. You know, they was like, I'll be like 1-900-SEXYVOICE.com, you know, or so, whatever it is like that. That's, you know, that was the shallowness of it. But I knew it had to be something bigger. And when I got into this isolation in Brooklyn all by myself and started thinking about some of the things, I would say, maybe it ain't actually to be rapping, but maybe I'm supposed to be talking to people. You know what I mean? In that aspect. And that's when I realized it's my it factor. Here's the mistake most people do. They refuse to believe the instinct that's already embedded in us. God has given each and every one of us a gift. We just deny the gift. You know, some of you people that are listening to this thing, they have some of the greatest books inside of them that they will never write. Some of the people, I know a young lady who has an incredible voice. You think she's using it? Nope. She's doing everything else except using her voice. You know what I mean? And she wonder why she never feels fulfilled. Because God gives you a gift and there's a purpose for that gift. So people tend to build themselves around what they think people might want. I build myself around my strength. And my strength, I have the strength of voice. So what do I do? What did I do? I wrote down on a piece of paper, I say, how can I make a living with this sexy ass voice? And I said, I'm just smoothing myself right now. I said, I could be on radio. And then nobody would hire me. I was like, damn it, I'll create my own. You know what I mean? I can talk on love records. Maybe I can do some poetry, or maybe I can do just so many elements. Okay. And I said, but whatever it is, it's got to focus around the art of speaking and connect. So most of my businesses in some fashion or form connect with that in some fashion or form. You got to know your it factor. If you can't ask yourself and tell yourself what your it factor is, meaning you don't have to go to school to learn it, nobody has to teach you, you just do it naturally. That is the gift. The problem is most people never unwrap their gift under the Christmas tree. They just look at it, they pass by it, they kick it, but they never actually unwrap it year after year after year, so they never actually fulfilled. I know my voice is the sexiest voice in America, but I'm gonna take that back. My voice is the sexiest voice in the world.
On the planet.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Of course, there're gonna be some people say, "No, Uncle Pookie got a sexier voice." Well, that's cool to you, but Uncle Pookie ain't got this voice. All right, it's just that simple. It's the it factor, brother. If that makes sense.
Man, that is beautiful, man. Again, these are things that you can't just read in a textbook. Nobody can share it with you without actually experiencing it and again, benefiting from the results. I really want you all to get that. Results matter. So everything that my brother Benny is sharing with you, the results back up everything that he's sharing. So this is powerful stuff. So, Benny, let's get ready to move into the last phase. I mean, we'll be on here for 2-4 hours. I don't even think we got that type of time. So look out.
No, we don't.
To this last phase to make sure we cover these areas that we both said are critical for people to know about you and what you're doing. Now, you've mentioned several times, you've used this term, so this is how I know it's a part of you, right? You've used this term in this conversation around 20-something times already. So what does it mean to have skin in the game for you? I mean, most people think that they are investors because they have a 401k, right? Because the law dictates that in order for them to have some type of retirement, you need to contribute this to a 401k. If you don't have a defined benefits plan and all of those types of things, we know that all of that does not truly mean that you're an investor. So what does it mean to be an investor from Benny Randall's perspective?
Thank you for ended it, and I love that bit. That's another great question. You hit home runs on every question. This is the purpose of building these platforms, because where else would they get this? Where would they get the Black People Whisperer and the Sexiest Voice in America all on one show? Come on, brother.
Come on now.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Yeah, I think what people overlook a lot of times, and I'm gonna say it, people that look like me, we forget that in order to make money, your money has to grow. If all you do is spend money, then you're only creating more debt. You're not creating assets. My psychology on investment is I invest in stuff that I use. Okay? Because, you know, think about how long Wrigley's gum has been around and still no more than 35 cents. You see what I'm saying? And this company is, you know, this family is makes billions of dollars over that, you know. You should invest in stuff that you understand. Okay? Warren Buffett once said, if I don't know how the company makes money in a short period of time, it's probably not how in the place I should invest.
Say that again.
He said, if he doesn't know how the company makes money in a short period of time, that's probably not the company he should invest in, because he's not smart, as he said. He said that the people he hires are smart. You know, he just know when he invested in Coca-Cola, he knows how they make money. They make cola, you drink it, they make money. It's just that simple. You know, you need to understand, you know, and I was taught from my coach that people gonna always need a place to live, period. No ifs, ands, buts about it. But he also told me that if you can get somebody to pay your rent or your mortgage, that means you can take your money and do other things with it. So the very first property that I purchased was a 3-bedroom duplex, which is 3 bedrooms on top and 2 bedrooms on the bottom. Okay. I stayed upstairs while people lived downstairs, and they paid the mortgage on the house. It is just that simple. You see what I'm saying? So I was able to take my money and do other investments. So I decided to invest only in things that I understood how they make money and that I personally didn't have to be a part of. Because, see, people got to realize, Brother Bedford, and I think this is where people mess up a lot of times in investments. When you invest in something, you're not just investing in the product. You're investing in the team and the leadership of that particular product. And if you got somebody else who is as passionate and on point and laser vision to run that company, there's a great chance that your investment will grow. People got to realize money only grows if it's compounded on a daily basis. Okay? Think about this. You can call the credit card company on day 2 and say how much I owe to pay off this, and they'll give you one number. You can call that same company back tomorrow and say how much I owe, and they'll give you a different number. You know why? Because the interest is compounded on a daily basis. People don't realize all these items that you use, ketchup, mustard, There is somebody making a lot of money off of those things. Why not invest in a company? Because you're part of their bottom line. Because over a period of years, you've probably spent thousands of dollars in it. You know, people keep looking for the quick lotto type situations, but investments are not meant to make millions and billions of dollars overnight. They're meant to make money consistently over a period of time. Anything that brings money into your life, that's an investment. Anything that takes money away from you is a liability. So buying a house is a liability until you pay it off. Okay? Or if you buy a house and rent out part of the place to somebody else, now it's an investment. The same thing, it's just a different angle. You know what I mean? A car is a liability until you pay it off. Or if you take that car and you become a taxi, a Uber, or a private thing, now it makes money for you. You understand? So you got to say, if the things that I have around me and that are going on, there's so many things that you can make smart investments in and just let it grow. Because as long as you do your research on the product and the team, and if you use it, there's a great chance that many others use it. Why not get some of that money back? That, you know, and then there's so many things I can go into it, but we'll be on here for 8 hours. But I just want you to think about this, Brother Bedford, and the listeners here, that think about it. A bank comes into a neighborhood. I love this analogy here. The bank comes into a neighborhood. They have zero money. They come into the bank. They open up this bank and they put a safe in it. Why? Because the safe said, we're going to secure your money. And people say, well, thank you so much. You'll pay a little fee for securing my money. Yes. Oh, and by the way, in this paperwork that you sign, while we're holding your money safely in our big old safe, we're going to loan it to other people. I'm going to just let you know that you agree to these terms and conditions. Yes. Okay, cool. When we loan the money to the other people, we're going to charge them somewhere between 10 and 15%. And then we're going to turn back and give you 1.0% on interest on your money that we are holding, that you are paying us to hold, because we are secure. Hot damn. That's gangster. You see what I'm saying? So basically, what problem did they solve? You don't want to keep your money under your mattress in case your house burned down. That's all they really, really solve, because they make their money, because the more money they got in the bank, that's the more money they can loan out. And then they're not going to loan your money out unless that person has some type of credit or capital that says they're not only going to get their money back, but they're going to get that interest. And there's a great chance that this person will be successful in borrowing this money. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the art of investing.
Powerful. Again, you're going to have to listen to this over and over and over again. And as Benny said, I mean, he dropped some nuggets there. I don't think we have enough time to even begin to peel back the onion on some of the things that he just shared as it relates to investing. But the nugget that I would say is that you have to have some skin in the game. You have to have some skin in the game. Let me ask you this, Brother Benny, because I think this would be instructive for those, because you and I know we see people, they come to us, and we see it all the time, people are trying to raise capital for their businesses, but most times they come and they haven't invested in their own businesses, they haven't done anything, they have no skin in the game. So I'll just ask you directly, how do you interact and respond to individuals who come to you for investment and you don't see that they have skin in the game themselves?
The first question I always ask is, how much of your own money have you put into building this business or this product? My second question is, how much money have you made in your proof of concept in your sales? And the third question I ask, what do you value your company at? And how did you get to that number? Those three questions usually shut down 90 to 95% of the people, because right. most people don't know their numbers. And most people have not put enough money or skin in the game, as I like to say. They just haven't done it. You know what I mean? You can't spend $10 in your company and want to get $100,000 from me. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen.
Not in the real world.
Yeah. That's a high risk. I don't care how many of your cousins, your uncles, and your relatives told you that this market is worth blase blase. My question is, how much of that have you gotten out of this market thus far? And if you haven't got enough out of this market thus far, then why are we conversing? Oh no, but it's gonna make it. I ain't made no money yet. I ain't made no sales in that. Then you haven't even proven the concept to yourself.
Right.
So if you can't prove the concept to yourself, what make you think I'm gonna invest? And I trust me, I get the calls, I get the emails, I get the inboxes. You know, hey, you know, I need money for this, et cetera, et cetera. And I ask those three questions, and usually after those three questions, most people say, you know what, I don't think I'm ready. I'm about to get back to you on it.
Right.
It's just that simple. You have to invest in yourself. In this coaching business, man, I've spent hundreds and thousands of dollars, you know, to learn to be in the presence of people. Because, you know, people are not going to even let you get close to them unless they feel you got skin in the game. They're just not. You see what I'm saying? You can't tell me your sob story and think I'm going to invite you over for dinner. Right. That's just not happening. And you can't tell me you want to pick my brain and there is nothing in it for both of us. I believe if you come to someone, there has to be a win-win situation. You know, without going into depth, you know, I think the greatest example of that is me and your relationship, Brother Bedford. It's always a win-win, okay? Without going to deep, and people have to be all up in the business. But, you know, you rarely come with an idea without it being a win-win situation. And that's what I do also. You know, I do things based on, okay, this is your win, this is my win, how can we both win? And not all the time money has to exchange hands for it to be a win-win situation. You know, if I do something better than you, you know, because that's just my it, why wouldn't you team up? Vice versa, if you do something better than I do, why wouldn't I reach out to you and say, let's do this? The problem is people only think about their win.
Right.
And immediately that shuts me down because, you know, I've heard people to say, hey, I'm going to tell you the short story before we get out of here. You know, when I was single and, you know, before I got married, let's just say that. And, you know, like I told you, I'm divorced. But, you know, as a youngster, you know, I met this girl and, you know, every time we would go out, I would pay. I had no problem with that. But Brother Bedford, you know, as a young man, you want to feel appreciated too. So you're hoping one day she's going to be like, you know what? I got this. This girl never had this. You see what I'm saying? It was always, and I said, you know, my birthday came up. And let's just say she bought me a medium straw and a large napkin. You know what I mean? After tons of, and now I'm not saying you have to give me something for me to be with you or whatever. What right. I'm saying is I want to be appreciated too. So, you know, every now and then, how about me not going into my wallet just to show me that it's deeper than this? It never happened. You know what I mean? So, you know, after, you know, and then I got to the point where I asked her, I said, how come you never pay for anything over these last 3 months? And she said, well, I pay with my time. You have the privilege to be with me. Huh? Did you just really say that? All right, cool. All right. Okay, I got this one. All right. After that conversation, I don't know what happened, but I lost her number or something. I couldn't tell you.
Somehow you couldn't even remember.
I can't remember it all at all. And I say all that to say this. She didn't have no skin in the game. You can't possibly think we're going to have a one-sided relationship. If, you know, I tell people you practice how you play. So if this how you treat me now, what do you think you're going to do down the road? It's going to just get worse.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Your money is going to be your money. My money is going to be your money. That ain't happening. How could she possibly do that, you know, to the sexiest voice in America? What was she thinking, Brother Bedford?
It was awesome, man. This is awesome. Well, look here, people. You have heard so much today. I mean, if you just listen to, and we've touched on family, we've touched on the speaking business, we've touched on media platforms, and we touched on investing. And I would say the investment part, really, the thread was through everything that we talked about, from him investing in himself as a speaker, him investing and putting skin in the game to develop his empire. Remember, he built this and he invested his own money. He parlayed each win into the next win and built this empire that you're listening to us on at this very moment. So if you get nothing else out of this conversation, which you're going to get a million nuggets if you listen to it, if you just peel the onion, you're really going to get a whole lot of things that are going to make your eyes water if you really pay attention to what was shared today. And so I would encourage you to tell people to tune in to BashaniMag.com. That's Bashani, BashaniMag.com. Share this experience. We want people to tune in to BashaniRadio.com. And, of course, we want them to tune in to VerkayRadio.com. And, of course, you can go to BennyRandall.com to get all of the information about what he shared with Benny on Demand and all of the other properties and speaking and opportunities that Benny has for you. I mean, it's all over there. So we really want you to do that. So, Brother Benny, before we get ready to sign out, I know you have some closing words. But before you get to those closing words, I just wanted to say thank you for the honor to allow me to sit in your seat on Bashani Mag today and interview you and share these nuggets with people.
First and foremost, I'm humbled that you accepted the invitation, and I don't think nobody else could have interviewed me like you did. And I didn't give you any questions. You just do and did what you normally do, and that's why you are Brother Bedford, the Black People Whisperer, the number one Black People marketing expert. You hear what I say? And yes, he has no problem doing Wakanda on y'all. I'm just saying, that's just
no problem.
It is what that is. So I'm humbled. I don't, you know, a lot of times you know you got to have people in that circle that can connect with you on that level, and I appreciate you, Brother Bedford, and people don't understand how honest that truly is. Because you know I'm crazy, but you know this is why I tell you it takes a special people to be in your circle, because they need to understand your dynamics. Even when the other people like, oh, do you know that guy Benny, he's this or that, you know, Brother Bedford still been there, you know what I mean? And there's only a handful of people that truly understand that dynamics, because a lot of other people, they take it personal. And I've learned when you take stuff personal is because there's something lacking in yourself that makes you believe that this person has offended you in some fashion or form. And until you get happy with yourself, you can never be happy with anyone else. And with that said, Brother Bedford, I just want to say this, ladies and gentlemen. Your journey is your journey. You will never have to compete as long as you remain unique. God created each individual like a snowflake, and there is no two snowflakes that are exactly alike. There are snowflakes that are similar, but they're not exactly alike. Even identical twins are not exactly alike. Okay? Find your it factor, and there lies the clues in why you were put here. And trust me, You were put here more than just to get stuff, because you can't take stuff with you. Your legacy may or may not be the Oprah of the world, but I can guarantee you it will be to serve others in some fashion or form. If nobody else ever say I've done anything, they will know that those who've truly had an encounter with me understood that I over-deliver, and I do it in private. I don't have to boast, you know. Brother Bedford, if in one of my homes, I have tons and tons of awards. I never actually display them, because you know what I said to myself? How does that help the next man? So what? I was the best speaker here. So what? I was number one. So what? I was put in this thing. That doesn't help anybody. You know, what helps is when you connect with people and you help them rediscover who they are inside. That's where the legacy lies, whether they talk about it or they don't talk about it. But I tell you, the when you help people and truly help them, you know, the great book says, give in secret and you will be rewarded openly. So if you find a man with a lot of blessings, there's probably something he's doing in secret that allowed that to happen. Okay? And just because you don't know about it don't mean it's not happening. You see what I'm saying? So don't look at my cars, my homes, or whatever. Yeah, they're great tools to use, but they're not what's made me. What's made me is how I've been able to implement and help people rediscover who they already are inside, Brother Bedford. And that's what people are forgetting. And because it's not on Main Street, whatever, you think, okay, if you give money to here, you should let everybody know. I don't have to do that. God knows, and that's all the person who needs to know. So when you see that I have so many blessings, you better believe there's something in secret that's going on that you don't know about. And that's where the true essence of blessings lie. If the Bible says give in secret and you will be rewarded openly, there is a reason he said that. Okay? I mean, really, fine, I'm not a scripture expert or whatever, but I can tell you if it's in there and it says that, I want you to really think about that. Give in secret and you will be rewarded openly. There's a reason I keep winning. I keep winning because I keep giving. And I don't have to put it on Front Street to satisfy you and your appetite to compare. If you don't remember nothing else from this interview, if you have to compete, you're not being unique. Those who do not compete, they rise in their unique. And as Maya Angelou says, I rise, and I rise. And as Benny Randle Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, says, thank you for being here for the sexiest voice in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Boom. And that's what we say, that's the boom, the final word.
There it is, brother. Thank you, Brother Bedford, for being here and allowing me to share this part. You want to close it out, Brother Bedford?
Hey, my final words. The only word that I have is boom. You nailed it. There's nothing I can add to that, man. Thank you again. Appreciate for being here. And to those listeners, please share this with family, friends, loved ones. Have a great one.
Thank you, brother.
VashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to VashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. VashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.